one of those things. A couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in
that. What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, as always. Three action-packed hours ahead. Dave Archer going to join us at 11:40, as he always does on Wednesdays. Like we said, our NFL insider Mark Schlereth at 1:20. Hopefully he's not dodging traffic on the streets of Manhattan again today like he was last week. But he's a busy man, so he may be. But obviously a lot to get to over the next 3 hours. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man, hope Schlereth ain't playing Frogger up there. Look out! and everything. And if anybody's been up there, you know it's exactly like
that. Yeah, that's what it's like
it's
every
exactly
day.
Like that every day. Man. But yeah, it's a Wednesday, getting halfway to the weekend as another big weekend of sports. I love talking to Dave because I always like to get his perspective from a quarterback position of what he saw in the game. So we'll have him up in a little bit. And like you said, our man Schlereth is in the house. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun day. And we all know what today is, 9/11, you know, 23 years ago, which is crazy. And it's crazy that it was that long ago. And our hearts and prayers are always going to be with the victims and, of course, their families. And, I woke up this morning, like, it's been that damn long. And we all know where you were when that everything happened like that. So, yeah, bless up to all those people.
Yeah, I lived more than half my life since then.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Crazy.
It's one of those things that you always sort of a defining moment, memory, no matter where you were and all that kind of stuff. But then to sort of live, I'll be 40 this year, more than half of the 40 years I've been alive have been post that. And obviously so much changed in the world and in this country after that. It's interesting. But, yeah. I don't know, probably not going to do too much time on that. Everybody kind of knows what it is,
exactly.
But I don't know that I'm going to add too much more to the conversation about it, but certainly, like you said, thoughts, prayers, everything, memories, remembrance, all that kind of stuff. Braves scored 12 runs last night for whatever reason.
They scored a month worth of runs.
I don't know why they do this.
Scored a month worth of runs.
It's just like they try to do the funniest possible thing, I suppose, and having 0 runs on 2 hits the night before and then following it up with 12 runs. And literally doubling their home run total for the month of September.
Right.
Last night, they had 3 home runs in the first 9 days of September. They had 3 home runs last night. It's like, all right, cool. So I guess that's just what we're going to do. Probably chalk them up for 1 or 2 tonight, I would guess. You scored 12 last night. You're probably going to score, I mean, what do they got?
Irvin, the player against Irvin, he's 9-12 with a 4.28 ERA.
That doesn't matter. Those are irrelevant.
No, that's why I say, probably 1.
Probably
1.
If the guy had a 2.5 ERA, they might score 9.
They'll get 1 tonight.
Yeah, but the Mets lost, so they're back in a tie for the third spot in the wild card. The interesting thing to sort of monitor is the other teams that are ahead of them in the wild card as well, because obviously the Mets and the Braves have that 3-game series at the end of the year.
Right.
That's going to go a long way to deciding who gets in. They're only 2 games behind the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks haven't been playing great. They're only 2.5 games behind the Padres, and the Padres haven't been playing particularly great either.
No.
So, and those teams also have really difficult schedules the remainder of the way. So, and the Mets play the Phillies 7 of the next 10 games.
Crazy, yeah.
So, now the Braves do have to play the Dodgers next week, and that's not easy. At least it's going to be here. But, it's going to be a sprint, man. It's going to be a sprint to the finish.
They all count.
But it's just, it's no surprise that this is where this team is, given everything that they've dealt with.
And they went through something last night.
And they went through something again last night, right? Like, you're not going to be able to get through a series without someone getting injured, clearly. It was Whit Merrifield, got hit in the back of the head last week, was okay, came back, and then broke his foot.
Yep.
And he was the replacement for the other guy.
Yes.
Who got hurt a couple of months before that. Ronaldo Lopez has to leave the game last night with shoulder soreness. Don't know the extent of it yet. Hopefully it's not too bad. He's already been hurt this year. He's a guy who's pitched more innings this season than he's pitched in over 6 seasons. So arm fatigue and or injuries aren't super surprising.
Right.
certainly suck to have happen this time of year with one of your two best pitchers that's been in your staff. But yeah, just another one, man. I mean, the hits just keep coming every single week for the Braves. Last night was another one.
Yeah, Andy, I didn't know what happened because I saw him hit the batter. All right, and then because he hit the guy in the hand, and I went and did something. And I came back and Jesse was in, and I'm like, hold on. Is he like emotionally distraught about hitting somebody? That's the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah. I didn't see when he went out and everything like that. And then you know you look it online trying to see what happened. Then you get to one of the Braves media guys and it says you know arm soreness. I'm like, damn, after one inning?
Yeah.
So that means he might have been sore coming into the game.
Could have been.
You know. Yeah. And that's something he's already missed time and it's something that we talked about about him. Specifically talking about, you know, all these innings pitched and everything like that. And but he's been outstanding. And so to lose another starting pitcher, and he said to himself he's day-to-day, so whatever that means, usually when a pitcher says they're day-to-day, that means they're going to miss two damn starts. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. But, yeah, I mean, they're right there in it. All these games count. We know that. But, I mean, they are right there. And like you said, outside the Mets, they should be – I'm sorry, outside of the Dodgers, which they can still be the Dodgers. But they got to get these games. They got to get this damn series. And I'm not talking about a series win. I'm talking about all the games won.
Yeah, it'd be nice to, when you're playing teams that are as mediocre as the Nationals are, to be able to get every game in the series. Now, winning the series obviously is good too. But yeah, man. I mean, it's been a tough year. Not the year that anyone expected. There's obviously reasons for that, given all the injuries that they've sustained and all that kind of stuff. It'd be pretty cool if they could sneak into the playoffs. And then with the pitching staff that they have, who knows?
Right.
But also, if they don't, I'm not going to be surprised by that either, just given you know where they are and the way the season has gone. And I don't know. There's how many games left? 15 games left? They're good for 16? A couple more. You know, hopefully no more devastating injuries coming in those final 15 games.
Yeah.
That's been
But it's always fun to have runs. It's always had we were talking in the before we came on air about that last home run Michael Harris hit. Dude, he crushed that damn ball. It was, you know what it looked
that
like?
That was a beer league softball pitch.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say.
And a beer league softball swing.
Well, you sit there and you're like, okay, one, time it out, and then kapow!
Yeah, man. I know they changed the rule where you have to be down 10 or something like that before you could put a position player in to pitch.
Right.
Still seems like maybe you shouldn't be able to
How about
do
you
it.
Let it go?
Just end the game.
Yes.
Like, do like they did with the Georgia-Tennessee Tech game on Saturday. Just whatever. Like, it's one out per inning now or something like that. Like a running clock. Whatever the baseball version of a running clock is. Just get the thing over with. Nobody needs to see this stuff. I mean, we know Michael Harris can hit. I'm glad he got to get an extra home run and add it to his numbers this year because obviously he's been hurt and missed a lot of time. What did that get him to last night? 11.
All
right, so maybe he can get to 15 with all the time that he's missed. Maybe he gets hot the final couple weeks of the season. All right, like we said, Dave Archer is going to join us at 11:40 to talk Falcons. Always love getting his perspective, but more specifically this week because so much of the conversation is on the quarterback and the way that he played.
Mm-hmm.
Interested to hear Arch analyze just kind of what he thought about. Not just, obviously, he didn't play good. Everybody knows he didn't play good.
Right.
But his thoughts on maybe why. Because so much of it now is, and it's all speculation. Like, we all know he's coming back from an injury.
Yeah.
It's no surprise to see that a guy coming back from an injury would be a little bit rusty.
Right.
But is he rusty or is he, you know,
I mean,
is it worse than that?
I don't know. But I think this is the, when we talk about the specific injury that Kirk Cousins has, it's a long injury to come back from. You know, the tendon can be healed and you still not be ready to play. Now, I'm not saying he's ready to play because he's been cleared by the doctors. And if he is out there, there's no way that Kirk Cousins is going to play and he's not clear. And there's no way that the Falcons are going to put him out there if he's not clear to play by doctors.
Right.
There's no, that does not happen because if that is the case, then all hell's going to be unleashed on the Falcons.
Sure.
I don't believe that's the case.
No, they're not doing any sort of like underhanded stuff.
I don't believe that's the case. But
there's also, you know, it's always this conversation we have in pro sports, football specifically, about the difference between healthy, hurt, injured, cleared, whatever. Like it's all, you know, it's all gray area. He's clearly not like 100%. And he wasn't going to be.
But what is the 100% as far as, is it rushed or is it?
Exactly. And I don't know.
I'm going to go with rushed until I see him on Monday.
Right.
That's what I'm going
to
go with. I'm going to go with rushed.
Because you want it to be rushed.
Because I want it to
Me
be
too,
rushed.
Me too, because it needs to
so
be rushed.
Because
if it's not rushed, then it's a whole different thing.
I'm going to go with rushed until I see Monday.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, again, when people were sending me that video, I didn't need to send a video to watch with my own two eyes what was going on.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing I said in the first hour of Monday. I said, something wrong. Mm-hmm. He don't look right. And about stepping in and all, that's what I was saying about the whole video thing. But, yeah, he was rushed himself. He didn't play football in a long time. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any time to play any game action with his teammates or anything like that. And they didn't do one specific thing that Kirk Cousins has done his whole career for him to be successful. Kirk Cousins has always been under center, all those other things.
That's what I'm interested to get Archer's perspective is you've got this guy that has made a career, a great career, coming from where he's come from. But the amount of money and success that he's had in the NFL is based on, I mean, based on a lot of stuff and a lot of hard work. But as far as the X's and O's go, a lot of it is based on the ability to use the play action effectively.
Right.
Like, he's Mr. Play Action.
Yes.
Like, that's what he's made his money on.
Yes.
And then the first game with his new team, you literally do it zero times.
None.
Is confusing.
That's why when we
and a little alarming.
That's when we talked about the offensive game plan and Zach Robinson. Was his play calling or something hindered by the ineffective ability for your quarterback to do something?
I don't know. Because I would wonder if it wasn't at least known beforhand, because there was no under center play action stuff even early. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they abandoned
it. Exactly.
They just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be one thing if it was like the first quarter he got sacked a couple times trying to do
it.
That, and then they went away from it.
Right.
They literally didn't do it from jump. So they knew that he was going to sort of be like that, which, okay, I guess maybe that's better that they knew that and that was how they planned to do it, but still tough to not be able to do the thing the guy does the best because of where he's at physically.
I agree.
So hopefully he gets better. Hopefully he feels better.
Better.
All right. Yeah, you better. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. Get some audio from the Braves win last night. Start turning the page to a fun college football Saturday as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
Yeah, he wanted to get, but he, you know, he just, because I looked at in that first game, when he got runners in second, third, it was 92 and not 97. And he just couldn't step on it. And he wanted to keep going. He said, I can pitch like this. And I was like, I know you can, but I don't want something else to go wrong. So our guys stepped up, and, you know, Shabby, Brevia, Luke, they did a great job. And, you know, you couldn't ask for a better timing to score some runs, too.
Yeah, that snit yesterday after the game, describing some of the thought process that went into taking Reynaldo Lopez out of the game after one inning. Sounded like he wanted to stay in the game, which he's saying is a good sign. Didn't have the velocity, didn't look like his normal self, got in a little bit of trouble, obviously. And then they got him out of there. Now, tip of the hat to Jesse Chavez.
Way to go, Jesse!
Who did a good job. It's been a while, so nice to see Jesse Chavez have a good appearance. That dude, Brebbia, who I'm still getting used to coming out of the bullpen. He's got a nice beard, but he's new, so getting used to him. He did a nice job as well. Then Luke Jackson comes in for the final couple of innings. The offense actually did some work last night, though.
Actually,
12 runs. Doesn't happen very much.
No, it doesn't.
Especially after the night before where they got shut out for like the eighth time in 2 months, which does happen quite a bit. But love to see it. It almost felt like one of those things where save some for later.
But we remember every time they do this, that's the next thing we say when we come here. Damn, save them, them runs.
Save them.
Because the next day they'll go, it'll be 1-0. The pitcher will probably throw a damn near no-hitter.
Yeah, Max Fried's probably going to throw another no-hitter tonight. He hasn't actually thrown one, but he's come out of games not having given up any hits this year. The Braves will score, like, you know, 2 runs or something like that.
Yeah, but let's just hope that's not the case, because they're still in it. All these games are valuable.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not
talking, gotta win them all.
And you love,
or as many as you can.
And you want to win series, but where the Braves are right now, they just can't afford to just win series.
No.
You got to win them all, especially against teams like this. Go break that spirit. I mean, the baseball, anything can happen. We know that. This 6:40 kick, first pitch, I love. Threw me off last night because I'm at 7 o'clock. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, I missed the whole first inning.
Yeah. Or two nights ago, I turned it on a little late, and I was like, oh, it's the sixth inning already?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah, but go get it today. I mean, Max Fried is on the mound. Go be your dominant self, and don't let whoever this guy Irving is, who's 9-12 with a 4.2 ERA, one hit you.
The Mets lost last night, so things are tied there in the wild card spot, both teams 79 and 66. The Diamondbacks and the Padres, not too far away. In just a couple of weeks, things have changed a little bit. Both of those teams have cooled off. And the Mets play the Phillies 7 out of their next 10 games. So, I mean, probably one of the two of those teams is going to lose. Oh, I guess one of the two of them is going to lose the majority of those games because it's an uneven amount of games.
Right.
But if the Phillies can do us a solid and smack the Mets around a little bit,
yeah,
then maybe the Braves can pull ahead of them and get a little advantage before the Mets come to town for that three-game series, the second-to-last series of the year. That's going to be what's so frustrating about it is you play the Mets in those three games, and then you got to turn around and play three more against the Royals.
Yes.
Just three more random games,
yes,
against the Kansas City Royals, who you certainly don't – there's no emotion about playing the Royals. No one cares about the Royals one way or the other.
But
obviously, you got to win the game. Yeah. But, like, you're going to have that emotional series against the Mets. Hopefully, you do great.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, right, we got to play the Royals now.
Well, we need to find something that the Royals did to us.
Yeah, you got to find a way to hate them.
You got
to
find something. You know, I don't know a lot about them other than
that. Well, the good thing is they're playing for their lives, too. Yeah. They're in the wild card race in the American League.
Is that a good thing? We might need them out of there.
Well, yeah, but no, I don't know. If they're bad, maybe you overlook it or something like that. They're good, so I'm trying to scroll their roster right now and see if there's anybody who's hateable.
Witt, Junior?
I don't know, Bobby. I kind of like Bobby Witt, though. He's got kind of a fun young player.
Me too.
Salvador Perez, everybody kind of likes. Vinny Pasquale.
You know what? I hate their stadium.
Crap stadium.
Yes. I hate their stadium.
Yeah, it's a crap stadium.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
So that'd be the hatred.
All right. Yes. Any pitchers? No. All right. Let's hear from Raheem Morris talking about the Eagles.
It's just really the whole offense when you look at those guys, right? You're talking about a bunch of superstars across the board, the Slim Reaper, A.J. Brown. You got Saquon out there. They just traded for Dotson. They got a bunch of guys out there. They got the biggest offensive line in the history of the game. You know, they got a brand new center, and it's going to create a really challenge for us. And Hurts was the run-up in MVP just a year ago, whatever the case may be. So they got a good offense. So we got to get up in the lab right now, and that's what today and tomorrow is about.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it, is what they do offensively. I think most of the concern from Falcons fans coming out of week one is about what the Falcons offense looked like.
Yeah.
The Falcons defense was fine. They didn't give up any touchdowns. They gave up 6 field goals, and I thought there was some good parts and some bad parts for sure. But, I mean, Falcons offense has to be better for any of that to matter.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, you got Saquon there now. Do people really call Devontae Smith the Slim Reaper?
I don't know.
I thought that was Kevin Durant's nickname.
He ain't.
He's slim.
He's real slim. Mm-hmm. He's been the same size since he caught that damn touchdown against Georgia.
He's not put on a lot of weight.
He's that same size, but he is a hell of a.
Got a lot more money and a Heisman Trophy.
He's a hell of a player, man. He's such a good football player. He's so reliable with Jalen. He catches everything that's thrown to him.
He's an awesome player.
And we know how with AJ is. He is a beast. He got Goddard, and he was talking. They got this big-ass offensive line with lockdown tackles. They got their new center, but he's pretty good. And then you got to deal with Saquon and then what Jalen does. And so, I mean, they got to score points. You're not going to shut this offense out. Now, no. Jalen might give you some opportunities.
Yeah.
This might be what you need. We're talking about Jesse.
He might. Justin's supposed to do that,
Justin,
too, and Justin didn't give you any last
exactly,
week. So.
Exactly. But they made it a count. Arthur Smith made it a point.
Oh, yeah.
Justin not throw the ball over them.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I don't know if that's going to be the case.
He normally fumbles, too, but he didn't give you any of those.
He almost had one on one sweep. Uh-huh. One sweep, he bobbled a snap coming up. And so, but yeah, there's going to be emphasis. They got to score some points this weekend because I think that they can get after the Philadelphia's secondary this game right here if they're able to hold up front. But that all goes back to what will the Falcons' offense look like.
Yeah, if they're able to hold up front for sure. And if the guy who's under center is able to get back in his drop and let it rip.
Yeah.
Like, because who knows? Yeah. Like, he wasn't able to get back to the back of his drop anyway for the most part against the Steelers because they were in the backfield immediately. So, I mean, all eyes are going to be on that. I mean, all eyes are on, first of all, how the offensive line plays, specifically that guy over there on the right side who got destroyed by T.J. Watt last week. If they try to help him out a little bit, and when Kirk Cousins is he under center? is he going to be under center?
Right.
Are they going to get back to sort of what made him $1 billion in the NFL? Or are they going to keep doing the shotgun pistol stuff?
Yeah.
And then when he is back there, whether he is under center or shotgun or whatever, when he drops back, can he let it rip? Can he throw the football? Because it didn't look like that week one. So, and it's not just us talking about it. This is like a pretty fairly sizable national conversation now. It's like, was post-injury Kirk Cousins just rusty or
I'm
suck now?
I'm about to go with Russ until I see Monday.
Well, yeah, you have to.
And I'll see it early. And
we
I'll
also know, have to hope.
And
that
I'll know early. And I'll know early Monday. But I saw the Falcons went out and signed a tackle. That's not to replace McGarry. Yeah, there's a reason why this cat was on the streets for as long as he was. There's a reason. But I think that, you know, I'm all with you on that part as far as, you know, because that's the key right there.
It's the key, that's the key everything.
To everything right there.
All the other stuff they did is great, but if Kirk Cousins is like that,
if he's pedestrian,
none of it matters.
You got to get him out of there.
You have to.
Yeah. Because that's the one thing about this sport. If you can't protect yourself, and I'm not talking about, you know, with the offensive line, yes, it's their job to protect themselves, but if you can't get out of harm's damn way at that position, you can't play. You just can't play because you're doing more damage than anything, you know. And so it'd be interesting to see. They still got the one extra day because it is a Monday Night Football game.
I'm sure that's great for them. For our purposes, this is the last week where I want one more day. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wish they played Thursday.
Yeah. Like, tomorrow's a big game.
Get back out there and wash that taste out of your mouth.
The Dolphins in Buffalo tomorrow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that should be a good one.
Be really good. Dolphins with a nice comeback, kind of skin of their teeth win. Week one. Jacksonville tricked that. They did. Jacksonville's defense played amazing for 2.5 quarters.
Jacksonville tricked that one off.
And then
ETN's going for the score
to go up 24-7, and he fumbles. Yeah. Obviously, nice play by the Dolphins defensive player. Yeah. But yeah, that changed everything.
Yeah.
And
then
they were
next
able to
play,
scrap
next,
and claw their way back.
They
in
get
the game.
That fumble turnover. Next play, Tua bombs it out to damn Tyreek,
yep.
And he's back, and it's another damn football game in Buffalo. We already saw what Josh Allen did, but I saw he's banged up, got his hand or something, whatever. But they say he's all right. It's his left hand. But,
he's just hurt all the time.
Because he's going to play
like this.
He's
the modern-day Ben Roethlisberger.
He's going to
because he plays like that.
But at least he don't tell us.
Well, yeah, he's not. He doesn't show up to every press conference with a boot on.
Hold on, guys. Let me tighten up this boot on my foot.
Oh, hey, does your leg hurt, Ben? Do you want to tell us about it?
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't hurt. It's nothing. It's not going to keep me out or anything.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, boy,
are you a warrior.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from Kirby. They're headed up to Kentucky to take on the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday. Here he is talking about them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've been up there that it wasn't just a battle. Like, I can't think of a time I've ever been to that stadium and played in a game that was like, well, that was easy. It's never easy up there. Never. It's never easy on the road in the SEC at all. And I don't know if people truly appreciate and respect a win on the road at Kentucky, how hard it is. They're well-coached. They're really physical. They do a great job. I mean, they had a really good football team. So we will have our work cut out for us, not to mention – 8 straight SEC games, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, it starts that run right here, and you got to go into Lexington. I was getting a head bust last weekend against South Carolina.
I went back and watched a lot of that this morning just to kind of brush up on some of who they have. It could have been way worse.
Yes.
Kentucky looked awful.
They did. And so now it goes back to always that one thing you talk about. Were they looking ahead to Georgia? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Because of the thing with Brock Vandergriff.
Yeah.
And then you got Dumas Johnson over there as their defensive signal caller. It's gonna be an emotional game. All right, I know they you lose to South Carolina, but you got Georgia coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and we all start don't let one team beat you twice. It's not more than that. I think it's just more of the anticipation of Georgia coming to Lexington. So it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be rocking. Georgia is way better than Kentucky. This should not even be a 20. Georgia should go up there and kick the blank out of it.
Yeah, if Georgia plays like themselves,
yes, they will go. They will,
the 24-point spread should be pretty easy.
It should be pretty easy.
Yeah, honestly,
yes.
Like no offense to Kentucky,
yes,
but that just kind of seems like where they are right now.
Yes.
Maybe Vandergriff's better than he played last week.
Yes.
Maybe he gets up for playing his former team. Maybe. Like those are some, you know, kind of potential factors, not really X's and O's type stuff, but just you've seen guys do that before, so maybe that gets him up for it. But just from a talent standpoint, 24 on the road feels like a lot. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a night game, so that'll be fun. It'll be a good atmosphere and all that kind of stuff.
Long day.
Yeah, it's a long day leading up to that
one.
Yeah,
man. I'm gonna be like the fans of Kentucky by the time that damn game come on.
It feels like an opportunity for that Georgia defensive front to really show up and have a great game.
Yes.
Because Kentucky's offensive line, I don't know, Vanderbilt probably, but one of the worst in the SEC.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to give up a lot of sacks, and you're going to get after Brock. You're going to be able to really make his day uncomfortable. So if they show up ready to go, I don't know how Kentucky is going to really score on them.
Yeah, they need to go and continue to set that mark, because it's going to – you're coming up to a point where, all right, you're about to hit these big dogs now. So it don't make no sense to go and slip, have any slippage against this team.
Yeah, you go, you smack them, you get a week off, and then you got to go to Alabama.
Yeah.
And then the real fun begins. I don't know, Georgia overlooks Kentucky. Probably not. But don't expect that one to be super competitive, even though Kirby's right. They've played a lot of weird games up there. And Brent Adams talked about the weather. Maybe the weather plays a factor in. I don't know. But there's been some weird games where it's like, it's the fourth quarter, and Lynn Bowden's like playing quarterback for Kentucky. And this game's close. What's happening right now? This is really weird. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back. Dave Archer is going to join us, Falcons radio analyst. Always love talking Falcons with him. Get his thoughts on Kirk Cousins and everything else from week one. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know it. You recognize it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Hump Day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from getting back into an NFL no huddle. All the stories from week one, looking ahead to week two as well. Good Thursday night game coming up tomorrow night as well. Falcons don't play until Monday, so they've got that extra day to get ready. But Dave Archer joins us on Wednesdays at 11:40 to talk Falcons. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Good to be with you. I wish I had a lot of answers for you. Hopefully this offense is smoking and not smoking the other stuff. It seemed like they were smoking some of the other stuff on Sunday.
Yeah, that's no doubt about it. We've been searching for answers as well. I know maybe now with a couple extra days to think about it, certainly been up there talking to him and all that. How do you assess what happened offensively on Sunday afternoon?
Well, I think there's a lot of things you contributed to, Andy. I think that certainly part of it is that they hadn't played together in a game. I don't think you can discount that. I know that there's a lot of naysayers. Certainly, they'll say that, you know, not playing together. Practice is one thing. Randy and I have both been through practices and games, and I can tell you that it's a different tempo. It's amped up differently. You go longer. You know, just the physical part of it, where you block a guy in thud tempo in practice, which is a term we use. And, Randy, you can talk about this. You come off, you engage, and then you lighten up because you don't want anybody to go to the ground. That's not happening in the game. You're blocking a guy maybe 4, 5, maybe 6 seconds. Who long? Who knows? Then you got to pick yourself up off the ground and go do it again, and you got to go do it 60 times. So that part of it certainly played into it. So I think there was some rustiness attached to it. Certainly from a game plan standpoint, they're going to have to adjust some things. They left themselves exposed a little bit to some edge pressure that they probably, looking back on it, probably would look maybe do some things different. I think one of the key things they're going to need to do against Philly is they're going to need to move the quarterback's launch point. I think that having Kirk sit just straight in the pocket and not go anywhere and not threaten the edges with some bootleg stuff and things of that nature, run plays coming back that direction to neutralize maybe those guys closing off the backside against the run game and just being able to tee off and come after the quarterback, those will be things they'll adjust as well. So, I mean, I think the adjustment from week one to week two, probably, Randy, what do you think, is one of the bigger adjustments you make, especially if you don't play well in a game like you did in this last weekend on offense?
Definitely, you got to go back and see what didn't work, and a lot of that didn't work. And Dave, I was just curious, when you watching this game plan, looking at it, the way the Falcons ran their offense, the biggest surprise to you, I know it was a lot of people, was the fact that Kirk was in the pistol as much as he was and not under center. I know they're working on it. I know they just put it in last week before the game, Dave, but was it a surprise to you that they didn't get to the play-action game, what Kirk Cousins does so well?
Well, I the play-action game, certainly. No question about it, Randy. He's top five all time, I think, when you look at the numbers as far as his rating and play-action. So, and again, Zach has called plays in games before. Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, it's not his first rodeo, but it is his first rodeo to kind of be the guy and maybe call it throughout the game. And so I think there's a degree of him kind of getting up to speed as well. So I think there's a lot of – that's why in Andy's first question, I think there's a lot of things that you're kind of adjusting to, and I think they'll be better this week as far as the versatility of the offense, making sure that the run game is present. Obviously, self-scout comes into play now because you've got a game under your belt, and Philly's certainly going to look at that tape and say, wait a minute, in this formation, they're not doing anything other than throw the football, so we're going to come get them. And you've got to counteract that by doing something different.
Dave, you said it earlier about doing giving different launch angles. Do you think Kurt is well enough to be able to do that? Because I'm going to put it on rust this one time, Dave, that they will see on Monday. But do you think it's a possibility that he's able to move, to be able to do the things that he needs to do to be able to move the launch point?
Man, Randy, you know, you and I both know, you're handicapping your team severely if you're putting a guy in there that's 65-70%. Right. I just don't think they would do that. Mm-hmm. One, it puts Kirk in a situation where if he can't bootleg out of there, he's going to re-injure or hurt himself, much like he did. If you go back and look at his injury in 23, it was just him moving in the pocket. It was a matter of him sliding up in the pocket. He put his foot in the ground, much like Aaron Rodgers was doing last year. Mm-hmm. Just that pressure on the – so whether you're moving the pocket, and we saw him move in the pocket, the touchdown drive right. – that they put together in the second half where he gets out of the pocket and hits Pitts in the touchdown. He moved three times in that drive in the pocket very impressively to buy himself time to make throws, including skating out of the pocket to find Pitts in that left corner of the end zone. So I think he's more than capable of doing that stuff. I just think that they didn't get to it, and that's part of them correcting some of the mistakes they made, maybe by play calling.
Right.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy talking Falcons. Getting ready for the Monday night game against the Eagles, and we'll get there in just a minute. Obviously reacting to week one against the Steelers as well. Kirk wasn't the only guy playing his first game back from an injury. Grady Jarrett was too, and certainly a different story there. I thought Grady looked awesome. What did you make of the way that he played, Dave?
Yeah, he's relentless. You know, it really carries to what he did in the off season, and he did so much. And anybody that watched that piece that the Atlanta Falcons put out, AtlantaFalcons.com put out about his 10 years and what it's meant to him, he's a guy that's self-motivated. He's a guy that's really grown up before our eyes. This young guy out of Clemson that kind of got overlooked and drafted late in the draft. His house burns down on draft night. All those kind of things that happened to him. And then him building to what he did in the Super Bowl with three sacks to what he's become as far as face of the franchise. And he owns that. That's something that he wants to be. He's, you know, grew up in Conyers, went to Rockdale County High School. He's Atlanta's own guy, and he understands that, and he embraces that. And I think with that comes his demeanor that I have to play every play like it's my last play. And he probably got some of the taste of that, Randy. Probably when you hurt your knee, you get hurt late in your career like that, you may think that there's a chance that might be it for me. So I've got to really grind to get back. And I thought his offseason has been phenomenal, and it translated in the game. I mean, he was relentless when he was on the field. I thought Jimmy Lake and the defensive staff did a really good job of rotating the guys up front to keep them fresh. Because let's face it, when you get in a first game of the year, especially if you haven't played much in preseason, your game lungs are a lot different, Randy. You can talk about this. I mean, your lungs get sapped. Your adrenaline gets flowing, and you get sapped pretty quickly when you start playing game speed. And I thought they did a good job of rotating. But Grady was spectacular while he was playing.
What about the skill position player days? Because, I mean, obviously everything goes together. So was it the more of the protection that was affecting the way the plays were developing as far as in the pass game, or were these guys getting the separation that they needed?
No, I thought that it's a great point, Randy. I thought that there was a lack of separation. I thought there was a lack of attention to detail in some of the routes. I think that's something they'll brush up again as you look at game speed, and then you adjust from week one to week two. That's certainly something that they'll talk about. Ike Hilliard, the wide receiver coach out there, I'm sure is on those guys about, hey, we've got to create separation. That means we got to be crisp and sharp in our routes. That means if you run a slant route, you can't roll into the route. You know as well as I do, Randy, I got to be that thing off at the top. I got to come off the ball like I'm going vertical and then snap it. I've got to be sudden in all my movements to create those quick opportunities for Kirk, because I thought there was a number of times you guys watched it where he looked for his first target and he didn't like it. He had to get off it because it was too tight, and so he swiveled back someplace else. Ultimately, that maybe forced some of the errant throws and or some of the couple sacks that they got this weekend. So that's a big deal, and that's just one of those details, right? The penalties. You got to eliminate these penalties. I mean, you get the negative play on the opening drive where McGarry loses, make a little bit. T.J. Watt knifes inside, makes the play on Bijan Robinson, puts you behind the chains, have to settle for three. And then in the second half, the penalties just thwarted every drive. I mean, guys, they had nine first downs or nine third down situations in the game. six of the nine were 10-plus yards.
Oof.
You're not going to make a living in the National Football League on third and 10-plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And a lot of that happened because they had a play brought back. Remember, Pitts catches a ball underneath, runs for 20 yards, called back, hands to the face. You got a good run by Bijan Robinson in the second half, called back because we got a holding call. Mm-hmm. They've got to eliminate those penalties. We talked about that in the preseason when I had a chance to visit with you guys. It was one of my keys to the game, Randy, was you got to eliminate the dumb penalties that are you know, killing drives. That's something they're going to definitely have to get done on Monday night.
Yeah, an interesting place to go Monday night, obviously. Tough place to play, first and foremost. Philly coming off of a nice win in Brazil to start the season. Their year ended weird last year where they just flat out fell on their faces. 2 years ago, they're in the Super Bowl. A lot of the same guys. So just kind of a weird, lot of storylines going on with the Eagles. Of course, the Falcons have their own concerns. But what do you make of Philly after one game and going up there to play them on Monday?
Well, they certainly, we just faced a nondescript wide receiver core. Take George Pickens and slide him over by himself. I mean, who else you got? Freiermuth's a nice tight end, but who else can you name on that wide receiver core you just faced? Now you're getting ready to face Johan Dotson, A.J. Brown, and help me out here.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah. Okay, so you got three guys that could be number ones probably. Got a good tight end. And, oh, by the way, Saquon Barkley looks like he was rejuvenated with three touchdowns, two rushing, one receiving. So you got a much better offense that the defense is going to face. So that puts the onus on the Falcon offense. You got to operate. You can't go flop around because this defense can't be exposed to 35 minutes of football against this Eagle offense. But one stat that's interesting, guys, and I'll leave you this. I know you got to get to a break. But Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen. I think he's a great player. I think he's an outstanding talent for them at quarterback. His first 45 games, 19 interceptions. His last 18 games, he's thrown 17 interceptions, 15 a year ago, and he threw two on Friday night down in Brazil. Something's going on there a little bit with him turning the football over. This is an Eagle team that was minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway last year. Pittsburgh, plus 11. That might be the area. And always we talk about turnovers. But that could be the area that maybe there'd be a little bit of Achilles heel for Philly when we go in Monday night.
Yeah, let's hope so. We'd love to see that for sure. Arch, we appreciate it.
Dave.
Thank you.
Have a good call, brother.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care. See you.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst, former Falcons quarterback as well, joins us every Wednesday to break things down. A lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good info about what happened certainly against Pittsburgh. I didn't realize you knew it was bad from watching it. I didn't realize 70% of their third downs were longer than 10 yards. Like, come on.
Yeah, those are things that we mentioned. Like, you got to win on first. You got to win on first down at least to put yourself in at least a third and six, seven.
At least.
But if you're in
third and seven, still not great.
Yes, but you're putting yourself at third and 12, 10. Yeah, that does not help you at all when you got a damn pass rusher and a quarterback that can't move.
Yeah, that's a great. Like, he's going to get there anyway.
Yeah.
You put him in third and long.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's when you got to mix. Let's run a draw play or something.
Something.
Because they're coming. They're coming. So let's.
Yeah, maybe they'll over-pursue or something, and you can take advantage of it. I don't know. Yeah, they didn't do any of that stuff. And like you said, not a lot of creativity in the play calling either. So just kind of knowing what was coming and then doing it anyway. Great stuff from Arch, though. He'll be up there in Philadelphia on Monday as the Falcons take on the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll come back and get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. This hour has been brought to you by the Mark Spain Real Estate Company. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.